Now, you all know, you've probably learned, you've probably read, that nothing goes faster than the speed of light. Well, the woman sitting opposite me, Professor Lene Hao, has turned that on its head. Many people have said that her trick of the light puts her in the running for a Nobel Prize, as she has managed to not only slow light down for the first time ever, but also she's managed to stop light altogether. Professor Howe is in Dublin visiting the School of Theoretical Physics at the Institute of Advanced Studies, and she's with me in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is an astonishing thing you have done.
Oh, thank you.
Most people talk about, you know, trying to get past the speed of light and accepting that Einstein was right. You cannot get faster. But we always thought it was always running at the same speed. It could be bent a bit, maybe,
yes.
But that's it. But
yes.
You've managed to slow it down.
Uh-huh.
Why did you want to do that?
Well, it's it was kind of, we started to play around with, now I say play around, we have a good time when we do physics. But we started cooling atoms down to really low temperatures, and I'm talking millions to a billionth of a degree above absolute zero. And we started illuminating these clouds with laser beams, and we hit upon this idea. My God, if we play our cards right, perhaps we can slow a light pulse down to some really low speed. And that was just totally fascinating to me. And of course, the idea is we think of light as something that's running so fast that we just can't imagine it. And to try to bring light down to a manageable human speed just was fascinating to me.
So what did you do?
We start out, it's a long process. We start out by, as I mentioned, cooling atoms down to these freezing temperatures, billions of a degree above absolute zero. And once we do that, the atoms actually form a very strange state of matter called a Bose-Einstein condensate. And it's really a superfluid state of matter. A cloud of atoms will turn superfluid. And what it means is that millions of atoms in that cloud will behave in complete lockstep. And that's the first part of the process. And then we illuminate that cold atom cloud with very precisely tuned laser beams, a very precise wavelength. And then we can send a light pulse in and slow that light pulse down to the speed of a bicycle. 15 miles an hour.
15 miles an hour?
Yes, that's it.
And what's the normal speed of light?
186,000 miles per second.
So, and you have it slowed down to a bicycle.
Yes.
Is it your belief if you got to absolute zero that light would actually stop, that you wouldn't be able to see something at absolute zero? It would be invisible because no light would escape.
Well, actually, we have stopped light altogether. And the curious thing is that when light slows down, it actually also you can imagine sending a light pulse into our cloud, and it will actually, as it slows down, spatially compress. It starts out in free space being 1 mile long, and it compresses to only 0.001 inches.
So you actually take light and compress it into a small,
yes,
thing. And pressure can turn a vapor into a liquid and a liquid into a solid.
Yes.
Does light become matter then?
Well, not initially, it doesn't. It actually compresses all the way down. But then in our latest experiments, we actually do turn it completely into matter.
You turn light into matter.
Yes, we turn light into matter. And when this light pulse compresses completely, we can actually go ahead and stop it. Stop it in our atom cloud, and then we turn the light pulse off. But then the curious thing is that before we stop the light pulse actually creates an imprint in the atom cloud, like a little hologram. And when we turn that light pulse off, that little hologram will stay in the cloud, so it's not like we lose the information that was in the atom cloud or in the light pulse, because that information is then in that hologram, imprinted in the atom cloud, and that hologram will start to move, and we can get that hologram to actually move out of the atom cloud. So now what we have isolated out in free space is a perfect matter copy of the original light pulse. The light pulse is gone, but we still have the light pulse in the form of matter, a matter copy.
Now, people would say, why would anyone want to do this? Is there any practical application at all? But I'm beginning to see that if you can pulse light and turn it into a physical a piece of matter,
yes,
that this might have some implications for information storage.
That's exactly right, yes. Because the thing is that when we sit at our computer, we love to download, movies fast, really fast, the faster the better. And the best way of transferring information is in optical fibers, information coded in light and send it down optical fibers. That's really the fastest data rate we can mm-hmm. obtain. But now the problem with light is it's great for transporting information over long distances very fast, but it's very hard to manipulate light. But now by us turning the light information into matter we can squish, we can massage, we can change it very easily. And now whatever changes we make to that matter copy, when we are done manipulating it, we just turn that matter copy back into light, and the changes we made to the matter copy will now be in the light, and then we can send it back down another optical fiber.
So if you take your movie, which would have billions probably of bits of information
yes.
in a two-hour movie,
that's right.
you use light to move it around, mm-hmm. and you store it in this fashion.
Yes, so we have a memory, but we also have a way of processing it.
In theory, how long would it take then to transfer a movie, to download a movie?
That depends a little bit on exactly how we would go about it, because now we have to start to say we have our prototype experiment, and now we have to start turning it into a practical gizmo. And exactly what it would look like for particular applications, you know, that would be application yeah. dependent. But
it'll be quicker than what's there at the moment.
Much quicker, because right now there's actually no way of transferring light to matter without losing information. We can simply make a perfect copy, do our manipulations, and write back, so that it would be infinitely much faster.
Now, someone was saying to me that this might have implications for the absolute ultimate in science fiction, which is teleporting,
mm-hmm.
moving me
mm-hmm.
across the room to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that too far-fetched for words?
No, actually it isn't, because we're actually teleporting now. That was what our latest experiments that just came out in Nature in February were about. Because what we do is we actually can now take a light pulse, stop it, extinguish it in one part of space, and revive it and send it back on its way from a different location.
But, I mean, I'm made of atoms and molecules. It would be a big job, I think, to move me across the room.
No, but you can do the same, because whether we start with light, turn it into matter, back to light, or we start with matter, turn it into light, and back to matter. Same thing. We have a complete symmetry in this situation, because now we really lose the distinction between what is light, what is matter, because we just shift back and forth.
Let me go forward maybe a century. Do you think it would be possible then to convert someone into light, fix their cancer, for example, and then turn them back into human beings again?
That might be taking it too far, you know, but who knows?
What sort of reaction are you getting from the international scientific community to your work?
Well, they are kind of shaking their heads and say, and my colleagues are saying, why would you even try this experiment? It shouldn't work, right?
It shouldn't work.
Yes.
And it has done, and people are amazed.
Yeah.
Now it moves on to the next stage, where people, realizing this works, will try to invent applications for it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other examples of science that people just did, that you know, in physics, for example, and they had no idea what they might be used for, but now we're using them in everyday devices?
I mean, there are, absolutely. And it may be kind of fun to think about. Often scientists doing research and pushing into new territory. I mean, we can take the example of the laser, where Charles Townes, who was one of the inventors of the laser, he was asked sort of right after the invention of the laser in the early 60s, he said, what do you think, sort of very much like now, you're asking me now, what do you think this laser could possibly be used for? And he was sort of thinking for a while. He said, well, you know, I think if we place a laser on the head of a typewriter, and then if you're sitting there typing and you make a typo, then we can use a laser to zap the typo. And this was kind of the wildest he could imagine. And now, of course, we have lasers everywhere, like we talked about, optical communication, eye surgery, DVD read heads, and so forth. I mean,
So many things. So we do not know where this research is going
exactly,
to be taken.
Exactly. And I think the important thing is here to say we are into completely new territory. We have some really new tools. And it's when you move into new territory, you really have the potential for some new exciting applications.
Mm. Well, there is speculation that your work is worthy of a Nobel Prize. What do you think of that kind of talk?
What sort of makes me tick is to have, you know, we really have fun in the lab, you know. fun in the lab and thinking about these problems and trying to wrap our brain around them. I mean, that's really what makes me tick.
But you know that you are the first person to have slowed down and stopped light?
Yes.
Well, that's good no matter how you look at it. Nobel Prize or not, it's a fantastic achievement. Professor Lene Howe, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you, this was fun.